Blog Talk Radio.
If you are not watching Euphoria on HBO, I'm not going to sit here and say that you should be. After all, it is a show that ends with a number for you to call, like if you've been mentally or emotionally triggered by the episode. But man, this is a show that deals with so many issues packed in at once. So many issues, and they deal with them in extremes, right? Like, I'm assuming it's a drama, so they're bringing you drastic and dramatic versions of so many issues, so many stories, that they leave a number for you to call at the end of the show if you've been triggered. I actually found out about the show, like, right when it premiered, right before, like, the night it did. I was almost late on this show, like I have been to so many others, but I saw Zendaya tweet about it the night of the premiere, so I guess roughly 5 weeks ago, and so I checked it out. So, like, you know, shout out to Twitter for, you know, holding it down and kind of putting me in there. I'm not even sure if I followed Zendaya at the time, but somehow it came across my timeline. So she plays the main character, Rue, and this story, you know, it basically follows her out of rehab after her younger sister, like, found her overdosing. You know, like, that's the extreme premise of the show. A 17-year-old returns to school and to life from rehab after her younger sister discovers her overdosing. So, like, hello, right? And then she meets a transgender girl named Ruth, who's new to town, but she spent she's spent some time before she gets there, not necessarily being a shy character. Let's say that she's not. I wouldn't call her so much an introvert, right? So she's new, but she's out there, and she's, you know, she's ready. You know, she's ready to kind of, I wouldn't say, like, make her mark on the new city, but, you know, she's got plenty of personality, let's put it that way. But she's also, once they get into Jules' story, her name's Jules, the transgender girl, she's been having these overnight, these one-night stands, like, with mostly married men who are struggling with their sexuality or their identity in one way or another. That's sort of her backstory, or at least part of it. We'll get into a little bit of that later. But basically, on the night that she meets Rue, or that Rue meets her, it's at a party where Jules is just, like, she's just on her way from having sex with one of the more well-known developers and figures in the town, in the new town. This guy has a family, he's married with kids, but he's having sex with a 16 or 17-year-old trans girl in a hotel room. So anyway, Jules finishes up there, she goes to the party, and that party is, like, its own story. We can maybe talk about that party at another time. Well, I guess we'll hit on some of the stuff that happens there. But she encounters Nate. And if you guys watch the show, you know how kind of how wild the party was. But eventually she encounters Nate, which is, I guess, sort of a very important moment in the show, because that's when Rue, it appears, first becomes aware of Jules. And so, like, Nate is this big jock who's, you know, just watched his girlfriend Maddie have sex with a college guy in the pool, right? Actually, a lot of people watched that. If you go back to that episode, a lot of people saw what happened there. And so he's upset. One thing leads to another when he meets Jewel. Nate's a jerk, and so he's going to embarrass Jewel, of course, because she's new there. And, I mean, I don't know why exactly in that moment he picked on her, but he did for whatever reason. So she grabs a knife, chases at, or she kind of charges at him, and she cuts herself, right? She cuts herself, and from there, a friendship is born. Like, Zendaya's character, Rue, the main character, sees this and she's like, whoa, that's my type of chick. Like, that's the person that I want to hang out with. And it just goes to show you how broken Rue is that, and, you know, a person that she would find herself drawn to is someone who would cut themselves in a scenario like that. So it's kind of a fascinating way that they become friends and what attracts Rue to Jules. And, I did not ever sense with Jules being transgender that they showed you this, but they weren't, the show does not, how do I best say this? It does a very good job of what it should do in the sense that it normalizes in a way who Jules is. And eventually they tell her story. But, like, when they introduce her, I'm going to be honest with you. When I watched that first episode that night, when I saw the tweet and watched the first episode, I came away with it still not knowing or having not noticed that Jules was trans. I had to watch the episode a second time, which I did, and I noticed a number of things that I didn't notice the first time, but that was one of them. The fact that they were able to have this trans person, Jules, by the way, who is an actual trans person, the actress or the actor that plays Jules, and Hunter Schaefer, I believe, is the name. And this was not an odd thing. And I think that's very important that it's, you know, sort of presented in that way, even though they're dealing with the complexity surrounding not just the gender identity and sexuality and all those things, but a number of things that the show deals with. And so, I mean, I've already kind of gone over a long list of it. You got addiction with Rue, depression, what she experiences coming back, and anxiety, you know, having to face her friends and the public and everyone who knows what happened to her and all of that. Sexuality on a number of levels, like this, sexuality and identity. Like, this is the first show that I've seen that features a trans teenager who at least appears to feel like in control of her identity and sexuality. She's a flawed character, like all of them are. But they put the strength and the vulnerability and the appeal of Jules as a trans character front and center. Like, don't think it's lost on me, at least, that you look at Jules and we got at least three people that want her. I just feel like that is very new and different from what I've seen on television. So, man. They deal with the very complicated nature of family life. There is no perfect family in this show. And you get to see how, like, the lives of the adults affect the children and vice versa. It's fascinating stuff. Episode 5, the most recent one, deals with domestic abuse and domestic violence. We could see Nate's abusive behavior in the episodes leading up to this. Like, we could kind of see it coming. But in episode 4, which is, I mean, I guess it's the best, I would say it's the best episode. Like, you see Nate put his hands around Maddie's neck and she gets the bruise, and that sort of sets up the storyline for episode 5. Yeah, man. It's like the perfect time, and at this point, you know, it's a perfect time to tell Maddie's story, you know, how she views love and life in the context of her parents, how she respects Nate more than her own father, and ends up like vulnerable to this abuse. There's a line in episode 5. And make sure I have it right that she wasn't something to the effect how she wasn't as afraid of the abuse that the actual abuse itself that Nate would inflict, but more so the fact that he could do pretty much anything and that she would still love him. And so it wasn't just the abuse, but it was the attachment to the abuser. That is really scary here, and that is relatable, you know, in abusive relationships. That is a very common theme of abuse, and I think it's one that gets overlooked. I don't want to pull a straw man and say that it's always overlooked, but it can be easily overlooked by people who say, "Well, why didn't you just leave? Why did you put up with that? Why is that not above, why does that meet your standard, basically?" And it's not simply that. It's not simply that there is an attachment to the abuser that exists that allows that both creates the environment and allows it to sort of perpetuate itself. The behavior to perpetuate itself. So I thought it was a really solid episode. I think it's a really solid show. It's the best thing that I've watched all year. I won't pretend to be like an expert on all of HBO's content, but I definitely think that this is like I can't imagine that they have much too much stuff that's better than this out right now. But yo, it is a lot to take in, because they're dealing with all of these serious and complex issues, in the context of, what amounts to children for a lot of us who are far enough removed from our teens. These are children to us. You know, like my oldest daughter is 9. I'm only 30, but my oldest daughter is 9. So I'm looking at this like just terrified. Like, you know, I know these are drastic and extreme examples of what high school life is like, but I know for damn sure I had a really wild high school experience. This would be an exaggeration of my wild high school experience, but it was wild. And I can see some parallels in the show to what I experienced, and it just reminds me of that. It definitely does. So, yeah, you watch the show a little bit, and you're like, you're scared for the children, you know? You're scared for the children. You're triggered by your own issues that might either exist now or existed in your adolescent years that you may or may not have addressed properly. So you might even see yourself in some of these characters. Albeit again, drastic versions. Yeah, man, it's just crazy stuff. It's just crazy stuff. And then you got old girl. What's her name? Kat. Oh my God, poor Kat, man. Let's talk about Kat real quick, okay? Kat starts it off, right? She starts off basically, insecure about her body, I'm sure, and perhaps in some ways made to feel insecure about her body. I think that's fair to say, actually, based on how she's introduced. And at that same party, she loses her virginity or has sex for the first time to like some dude that she doesn't even know from another school. And like she does this clearly to, I think, prove to both the guy. guys that are there and to herself that she is, you know, worthy of some kind of attention, and wants to tap into the sexuality, and wants to feel desired, right? She wants to conquer. I think that that is very clear based on what happens there. And so her character arc and development so far has been consistent with that. She goes out and changes her wardrobe, and then she just starts hooking up with dudes. You know, she hooks up with the legend, the legend high school like dude that all the girls apparently either had stories about or wanted or whatever the case may be. She hooks up with him in episode 4, and then she's just going all out. Like episode 5, she gets back to school with the dude that she mistakenly thought was trying to talk to another girl, and kind of she just ditched him at the carnival or fair or whatever it was. Gets back to school, gives him all of this attitude, even though he's actually a guy that appears to like her and wants to do well by her. And she's like over it now because she left that and found old dude, you know, the legend, if you will. And she's like moving on to her, you know, back on her hot girl stuff, for lack of a better phrase. She is back to her hot girl summer, so to speak. So then she, you know, she's either at the mall or wherever and meets a dude who it looks clearly to be, and I guess that's another thing that they deal with, the statutory rape. And sometimes these gray lines as well, this gray area, with teenagers who are clearly trying to find their sexuality or discover their sexuality, or however you want to phrase that. You understand what I mean? I think it deals with that as well, like. Jules sleeping with Nate's dad. So I don't think we brought that home. Episode. If you guys haven't seen the show, if you guys have seen the show, know what's going on. But episode 4, it all comes home. It's all brought together. The reason why I think it's the best episode because it brings so many storylines together, and it makes sense for that to be the best episode. It's the midpoint. But it brings these stories together of Jules sleeping with the, you know, the well-known developer who turns out to be Nate's dad, right? Cal is Nate's dad. And they discover this, she and Rue discover this at the carnival. And there's that awkward exchange where, you know, Rue's like, no way, that can't be. It can't be right. No way you had sex with Nate's dad. And she's like, that's totally him. And she kind of proves it to her. Now, I know in that episode, just real quick side note, there were a few moments where we thought that Jules was going to die. Cal's kind of looking for her in, you know, throughout the fair throughout the carnival, he's looking for her, and they get that moment alone where it seems like he could do some damage, and it's just like, nah, please don't ruin my life. Yeah, no, I didn't have any intentions of doing that. You know, like, we're all good. And so it's like, oof, I'm glad that worked out, only for her to then go and meet up with the guy who we all know is Nate, but she doesn't know is Nate. And by the way, just found out that Nate is the son of the guy that she just had sex with not too long ago and encountered and you know, here at this scene. And so, of course, it's this drama when she meets Nate but thought that he was a guy that she was dealing with on the apps, you know. she thought Nate was someone else. And so his manipulation leads them to this really, really interesting moment there where I think Jules had the most quotable line that I've seen so far on Twitter. And I'm not going to say it here because I just don't feel comfortable. But you guys check it out. If you go do Euphoria episode 4 Jules quote, and you'll find it. And the story that I told you about Nate and Cal, the father son tandem here, who both find themselves interested in Jules, will make it make sense. Yeah, man, this is really good stuff. It's just really good stuff. Now, and that's the thing about Nate. That's another thing I want to say. Like, obsession. They deal with obsession, I think, in a very, like, in a very sort of creepy and entertaining way. Like, the episode where Nate stalks the dude who had sex with Maddie. At the party and in the pool. Like, what? That was another moment when I knew that the show was going to be really, really weird and or had the potential to take some really weird turns. Like, aside from all of the other things, like what is the main criticism of the show has been too many penises on screen. It has to set a record for penises on screen for a production that is not pornographic in nature, right? That's been the criticism. I you know, prefer not to see so many of these, but that's the route that the show has gone. I have not read anything about their justification or explanation, or if there even is one, if they even need one. I don't know, but I've been able to get past that some way, somehow, despite my preference to not be exposed to such things. But yeah, man, the way Nate stalks the dude who had sex with Maddie, goes to his apartment, beats him up, takes a shower at his crib, and then later the creepy way that he, you know, threatens to extort or blackmail Jules when she finds out that he's the guy that she's been chatting it up with on whatever dating app it is. Like, the obsession of Nate, the obsession from Rue, her obsession with Jules. Which to me resembles, you know, her addiction issues. It deals with the dating app. Like, the dating app is, I think, an underrated part of the show as well. I think also because maybe I'm like the generation that was sort of introduced, or maybe like I'm like first generation dating app guy. And so I feel like I'm one of maybe the oldest of them who can remember when there were no dating apps. You know, when dating apps were just not an option of how to find somebody to hook up with. That was just not a part of it. Where that was never a part of it. Like, not just you weren't aware, but it just wasn't a thing. So it deals with that. And just how, as we know, it's a lot easier. I mean, the point being, it is a lot easier to find what you're looking for. Yeah. But yeah, again, man, episode 4 was probably the best one so far. Episode 5 was a good follow-up on that, so I think they're the best two. maybe aside from the one, which is really good. But these are, I think, the best two. They had some major storylines that connected there, as I mentioned. And then you've got, like, these really raunchy moments. The carousel, or, you know, the carousel moment with the character whose name I can't remember right now, but she's the one who has a tape out there, a sex tape out there that people know about. They deal with, I don't know if revenge porn is the right word, but how, like, when you do these things and tape these things, how easily they can get on the internet and how that thing can spread like wildfire and how there's no coming back from it. They deal with that. Really good stuff, man. Really, really, really good stuff. So, I'm interested to see where the show goes from here. I mean, now we've got, you know, we've told the story of Maddie and why she's the way that she is. But, you know, we also show that she's a victim here of domestic violence. What happens with Nate going forward? And, like, I don't know, just how do these stories develop from here? I'm interested to see. I've enjoyed the show. I've been, I guess, like, exposed to some things that I think that I either forgot about or just was not familiar with. Like the episode where they deal with Jules and her upbringing. I had never considered, perhaps just not deeply enough, had not considered what the life of a trans child must really be like, what that must look like, what their reality actually is. And that's on me. That's, I think, my fault for to be quite frank about it, for not caring enough, you know? And, like, you know, I think for initially having grown up and that not been a thing, I think it was weird for me, and I had to reach a point where I could be open-minded and, like, just thoughtful about the whole notion. You know, so I'm coming from a very, from like, the bottom here on, like, my understanding and just awareness of what a transgender experience might be like. I feel like they did a decent job of explaining its complexities and how difficult that can be. So, yeah, I have found the show to be very, very, very good. Man, real quick, just to switch gears, I wanted to just hit y'all up with the music I've been listening to. There is some dope music out there right now, specifically what dropped last week. I spent the weekend jamming Crits, Big Crits, Crit Is Here. I jammed Ed Sheeran's, you know, collab project. I think it is dope. I was reading a review of it that was criticizing it for being, like, I think they called it a Dropbox special type of deal, where you can listen to it and it's got all of these features and it overwhelms you with all these names and folks that are collaborating, and it just kind of hits you in the face, but it doesn't ever feel like these artists were together recording this music at any point. But I thought that was kind of the beauty of it, that they were able to make it so dope, even though that chemistry was not necessarily obvious. The Dreamville stuff, y'all need to check that out, both the record and the documentary. Yeah, man, that's really it. Yeah, man. Just holler at me.